Kitty Cat is sending a bottle of wine.
All right, we'll call to order the, our Health Rec and Events Committee meeting for April 4th.
Madam Chair, if it's okay with you, I'd just like to move item number four down to item number nine and just switch those two, if that's okay.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All righty, do that. You're gonna, you're just gonna move this down.
Right.
But keep everything else in order, all right? Okay. Item two is approval of the minutes from February 28th meeting.
Move to approve.
He's here.
Oh.
Can you move it back?
You want to move it back?
Sure we can, if you'd like to.
Okay, you moved, make a motion, move it back.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and reestablish the agenda as originally written.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, we're getting it back together now, all right. Approval of minutes from February 28th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item three is public comments. If you have any comments, you can come to the podium, give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes. Do we have anyone here today that wanted to speak? Okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Kevin Cunane, 3032 River Vista Way, I'm here to address a perennial issue. Mr. Rambo, I met with you about a child being harassed by a town official, your former principal. Basically, you decided to do nothing about it. Shame on you. You should know better. I know you didn't do that as a principal when you were presented with a problem involving a child. You really should examine your conscience and consider the ramifications of an adult enabling a bully. It's really shameful, and I know you're better than that. So you should seriously consider joining the cause to censure Will Haney for his actions over several years now. You're a principal, you're an educator. I know in your heart you care about children. Your politics can't take precedence over that. It just can't. It's untenable, it's not gonna get you anywhere. The last two elections, the people who were closest to Haney both lost. That's not a coincidence. Now, there's a lot of people here talking about an recreational advisory committee. The developers have the planning commission, the Board of Zoning Appeals, the historical commission, the design review board, all for developers to shepherd their projects through. The people, the parents, coaches, players, residents, and residents, I mean, even if you moved here last week and you paid taxes up in Tupelo, or if you lived here for, your family lived here for 300 years, you have the same voice. The council doesn't represent that. There's hardly anybody who's not native-born Mount Pleasant. But the parents at the fields, they represent all the citizens of Mount Pleasant, and that, the idea of a committee of residents inputting into parks and programs is a great one, and it's long overdue, thank you.
We have another speaker. We had one more, okay.
Okay, good morning, my name is Kevin Colliger, 3712 Hidden Marsh Road. I am here speaking on behalf of the, hoping to have a Health Recreation and Events Commission to provide a public voice into the use and utilization of the town's facilities. I consider myself the ultimate neutral party in this situation. I do not represent a private soccer club or a private lacrosse club. I do not have children who are of typical Parks and Recreation program age. I volunteer the past 2 years as a volunteer coach for Mount Pleasant Rec Department's competitive soccer program. So that means when I go to Somerville or Savannah or Myrtle Beach, I do so at my own nickel because I miss coaching my kid, I miss coaching kids and miss seeing them play. So I really feel like there is an opportunity for, to better utilize and optimize the space that the town has in working in a kind of public-private venture with the area of private again, lacrosse clubs, soccer, ultimate frisbee, anything that keeps the kids outside, off the internet, and having parents who have a clear access to the things that they would like to do for their children. I feel like this could be a very constructive commission with positive input and provide, you're all connected to the community, but here you would have a central group representing rectangular fields, diamonds, swim lanes, trails, what have you, to have this group come together. And Perry Rourke has gotten a really good and positive group together, cross-section, I mean, pickleball, tennis, whatever the case may be. We have terrific facilities here. It's the reason I moved here from Charlotte. There was a lot lower cost place to live outside of the city of Mount Pleasant, but I wanted to live here because of all the terrific things we have. And they're being utilized. I think they could be optimized, however. So I'd encourage this committee to appoint a commission. And if I'm on that commission, I would consider myself to be a very constructive and collaborative person in that group.
Sorry.
Jeez, I thought that was me.
So thank you all.
That's going to be that. Oh, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Chris Golson. I live at 2609 Ringstead Lane in Mount Pleasant. I'm the president of Wanda Rugby Club. Despite the team colors and the logo, we are no longer part of the Wando High School Club organization. We are a 501c3. Our mission is to grow rugby amongst the youth high schoolers east of the Cooper. We currently have 30 boys, 30 girls, each participating on their respective teams. We play a schedule against North Carolina youth teams, the one other South Carolina youth team that's currently in the state, down from pre-pandemic levels of about 120 players. But we have a really strong program and have had a strong program that we're looking to grow. Our boys have competed at the high school nationals twice. Our girls team, in their fourth year of existence, is going to make their first appearance at the girls high school nationals in Ohio in May. I'm also here to support the formation of the Recreation Advisory Commission. I've seen firsthand, as president of the club, the pressure that are on athletic fields here in the town of Mount Pleasant. Our typical practice match field has been the Cario Middle School fields for the last 5 years. As you're probably aware, that's going to transition to the town of Mount Pleasant control, with my understanding that it's turned into baseball fields. We're not exactly certain when that happens. So we've been leasing Cario for the last 5 years. Once that transition happens, I'm really not certain where we go. Other than to know it's going to, what I've experienced even over the last year, a lot more pressure, a lot more scrambling to be able to find a field that we can reliably lease for practices or games. So I believe the commission offers a great avenue for the youth sports clubs in Mount Pleasant to consolidate our requirements, grow our respective sports, improve the service to our members and town residents, and work with this committee and the rec department on solutions to help grow youth sports quality and opportunities here in Mount Pleasant. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Perry Rourke, 2004 Brick Kiln Parkway. I'm here today to ask the committee's support for the formation of a Recreation Advisory Commission. Town Council has established multiple commissions from arts to planning that have worked very well in creating an open dialogue between the residents and committees. Just to clarify, the intent of this commission is not to promote one group, sport, travel club, or recreation team. The commission would represent all residents that utilize the programs and facilities the rec department has to offer, regardless of their affiliation. The role of the commission would be to represent and be accessible to all residents and work with the Recreation and Events Committee and the Rec Department to insist in improving on the facilities, the programs, facility development, revitalization, maintenance, and utilization and events. The structure of the commission would also provide for equal representation across all sports and levels of play. The recommendation has been put out there of a 12-member ad hoc commission consisting of Mount Pleasant residents that would be in effect for 2 years, with the members appointed by Town Council. The members will represent the following categories: 1, rectangular fields; 2, pools; indoor and outdoor courts; diamond fields, tracks and trails; health and events. I have emailed all of the committee members and council members and provided my contact information. I'm happy to answer any questions or provide any information I can. Thank you all very much.
Hi, I'm Bob Basolowitz, 1649 Seaway Fort Road in Park West. I have four daughters. Three of them are grown, and they were into horses, the older ones. Thankfully, the younger wasn't, because horses are very expensive. But it was all about logistics, like getting the horses where they needed to go, okay? I also own a paint contracting business, so that is all about logistics, getting paint, employees, and equipment moved around. My youngest daughter was part of the Mount Pleasant Track Club, which is an awesome organization. She didn't do it last year, but she came to me this year and said, "Dad, I want to play rugby." I knew nothing about rugby. My first thought was, uh-oh. She's joined, and it has changed her life. She started in December so confident. Everything that it brings to her, the similar way that the horses did for my other daughters. Chris, who just spoke, is our president. And all I see him do is logistics. So we had a match on Saturday, and as I talked to him throughout the week, we were playing at one time, another time. Once we got the field procured, then he had to get the referee in. Then we had to make sure the trainer was there. Then we had to coordinate the team coming from North Carolina, which is so many logistics. And I think this commission could help, you know, in some way streamline how the fields are used. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what that would be, but I think a group of people could probably come together and really come up with something good. Maybe it's a website, whatever it might be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Holly Kingston, 304 Hawthorne Street. Last month, you had the privilege of hearing my seven-year-old daughter speak, Sylvie Kingston, on the use of the field space in Mount Pleasant. So I stand here today with you again to just support the Rec Advisory Commission. I think this would be just a fantastic way to have a consistent voice from the community to help to direct the field space that we have, in addition to all of the points that you just heard of there. But I mostly come to you today as a mom of two daughters who were impacted by the decisions made and not renting the field space to club sports, and you know what that has from an impact on young female athletes in our area. So to be a voice for those little girls in our area who want to continue to play sports that require field space. So I hope that you really consider this as an opportunity to listen to the people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Karen Lucas. I live at 313 Palm Street in Bayview Acres. I'm here to support the idea of an advisory committee to assist you all in organizing and streamlining the use of our facilities. I think we'd all agree that one of the wonderful things about living in South Carolina and in Mount Pleasant is the ability to be outdoors so much of the time, and encouraging that for our children is definitely, I'm sure, a top priority for all of us and also for the adults here. You know, we all want to be outdoors, on the water, exercising, getting fresh air, and that's encouraging that is a wonderful thing. So I hope that you will be able to take on board the comments from everyone today, and I look forward to seeing what you'll do with that.
Thank you.
I just want to say that all of y'all serve honorably, especially you, Mr. Rambo. I'm sorry you have to be the target of such insults and accusations. I have some documents that I want to enter to be included in the minutes that will shed light on that situation. Thank you.
Nobody else I'd like to say something.
Hello, my name is Mary Maltezas. I live at 3931 Colonel Vanderhurst Circle. I'm here as a parent of three girls who play soccer, and I just returned from out of town where I got to see how other cities, again, do this beautiful soccer complexes and outdoor field space. It can be, you know, lacrosse or whatnot. I'm here to support this committee. In hopes that we can develop this type of facilities in Mount Pleasant. I think it's an important opportunity to get it right for the citizens of Mount Pleasant and especially the youth of Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Greg O'Neill. I live at 1118 Ayers Plantation over in Mount Pleasant. I am also here to support the establishment of the Recreational Advisory Commission. I think it's going to be better to manage the existing fields we have today and also to establish new fields as we have the exploding population. Okay, so that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Morning, David C., 34-4 Salterback. How's everybody doing? I'm here to applaud the town for recognizing Otto German, a man that changed my life. Coaching is hard, and being a leader is hard. That men like Otto German, special. And I met him in that gym. And I speak for all the athletes that he has ever coached. He made me better. He needs to be applauded. I'm so grateful you're doing this. I played up for him. I wanted to please him. He was the right kind of man for me in my life. And that's what coaches do. He made me a member of his family. He treated us all like his children. And I can't tell you that if you need a model of what coaches should be in America, they just need to look at Otto German, because I didn't deserve to be on all-star teams. I wasn't that good. But he helped me become better. He helped me believe in myself. And he didn't just do it for me. He did it for his sons. He did it for his daughter. He did it for every young person that has ever put on a uniform and called him coach. And I can't thank you enough. And anything that you can do to find more people like Otto German, children will be blessed. I lead, I do what I do, I coach, because I met that man. Thank you for recognizing him today.
Thank you. Do you have any other speakers?
Madam Chair, if that's all, I'd just like to quickly say, you know, years ago, we wanted to start a commission of sorts for football, middle school football. And we got a group together, and a really good group. Johnny Cribb, I think, was the recreation over football at that time. Worked closely with the town, and I think Jimmy Millar was our first state champion here. We put together a team, and I remember playing over at Wando. When we won the first state championship, and I had three state championships. I don't even know how many other coaches have gotten them, but it really produced some great programs. I know Wando now has got a C team, so it kind of hurt the program, but they're really successful when we work together, when we get together as citizens in the town and work together to put together teams and programs that affect our citizens. So I gladly support the commission that y'all are talking about, and any way I can help and assist to be a part of it, I'd be glad to.
Okay, thank you. All righty. Our next item is recognition of Mr. Otto German. If he could come forward.
Yeah. Where's him?
Madam Forelady, would like to first of all thank you for providing us the opportunity to honor this great citizen for the town of Mount Pleasant. If I may, I'm going to call upon his daughter briefly just to recognize some of the family that's here today. Renata German.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Mr. Rambo, and Mr. Santos, Coach Santos. Joining us today are Ms. Dodds, Ms. Patricia Clark, my dad's former administrative assistant, who is also part of our family. He's joined by two of his sisters, Vanessa McCants, and his oldest sister, Brenda Jones, his brother, Terry Bryan, one and only brother, and then his cousin, who we call double cousin, Carlotta German Goodwin. And we thank you all for being here with us to recognize Dad this morning. If I can say a few words in reference to my dad. I once read, "Behind you are all of your memories. Before you are all of your dreams. Around you are all who love you. But inside of you is all that you need. Take all of that and a God that never leaves or forsake you, a mother that encouraged you at an early age, six sisters and one brother that looked up to you, a wife that was supportive through a 51-year relationship, three children that you inspired daily, 10 grandchildren that you spoil rotten, 6 great-grandchildren that are hopeful for a better future, a son-in-law that knew he had big shoes to fill, and an array of family and friends that are proud of you, and you will have some of the key components to what makes up a man that I get to call my dad. Sometimes in life, running a straight course requires you to overcome obstacles, maybe one or two. To say the least, Dad, you had many obstacles to overcome. I am a believer that you were able to overcome these obstacles because you never lost your faith, and you knew that your sacrifices were commitments and not just contributions. You remained grounded, and you did not give up because you knew that you would overcome by continuing. For this, sir, in the absence of my brothers, Ron and Chad, we will forever be grateful. I cannot think of a more deserving human being. Congratulations, Dad. We love you."
I just want to comment on the comments that gentleman made, that those were wonderful. And I tell you, Otto has had that impact on so many people. But that's from the heart, and I tell you, that's, he'll remember that. Today we honor one of our own. Otto German is a true hometown hero who has distinguished himself as an accomplished athlete, Moultrie High School, College of Charleston, a valued employee and alumni, having worked at the College of Charleston, what, some 40 years?
46.
46 years, just recently retired. A devoted husband and father, as you can see, a cherished friend to many, and a respected member of his church, and an outstanding citizen for our town. This man's journey began as a very young man and required great courage and a clear understanding of who he was. He was one of the first, if not the first, African-American to integrate Moultrie High School, and the second African-American to integrate the College of Charleston. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen, sort of courage that it would take to go in there and to face prejudice and discrimination, yet have the courage to look him in the eye and say, "I'm better than that." And the groundwork that he laid for so many people who came behind him. Those days are gone. And of all the accomplishments in his life, I would suggest that I am most proud of what he did at Moultrie High School and later at the College of Charleston. Speaking of Moultrie High School, he was the News and Courier, the Post and Courier Lowcountry Basketball Player of the Year in 1969. Let me tell you, I had sisters that played basketball at Bishop Ingham High School, and we went to Moultrie Gym And I'm telling you, it was a barn burner. And this guy would get after it. 4-year scholarship to the College of Charleston, 4-year Letterman. They loved him there. In 2009, he received the Eddie Ganaway Distinguished Alumni Award, recognizing an alum who has distinguished himself in the chosen field, which at the time was his tenure at the College of Charleston. He was a loving husband to his beautiful wife, Alberta, and a loving father to his children. He's a well-respected member and a leader of his church, where he is often consulted for his wisdom and his understanding. And if you think about what that gentleman in the back just said, you understand why. So it is with great pride and honor that we present this award to Otto German. And I'm going to ask Councilman Santos if you would read that and please bestow that.
First, like I said, I spoke with Everett German earlier. He wished he could be here, but he had a prior engagement, and he wants to send his love and regards as well, Otto. Town of Mount Pleasant, Outstanding Citizenship Award, presented to Otto B. German by Councilman Gary K. Santos and John J. Dodds III for outstanding contributions to the town of Mount Pleasant, the community, and its people, April 4th, 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, Otto German.
Congratulations. Yeah, absolutely.
I asked Johnny if I may say something.
Oh, absolutely.
I have to say anything, but I don't want to speak to the people that are here. So I guess I have to do it like this. First and foremost, I am humbled and honored to receive this recognition, but I want everybody in the building to know that it never was about me. My life has always been serving others. And I just wanted to thank Gary, thank Johnny, and anyone else who had anything to do with this. Thank my lovely family for being here to support me. But, you know, when I have reflections of what I had to go through, when I made that difficult decision at the age of 14, to leave Lang High School to go to Moultrie High at the time, in a hostile environment. And as Johnny said, I was better than that. And people keep reminding me of the impact that I made on so many lives. David brought tears to my eyes. David is an accomplished author, wrote a book, sent me a copy of the book, and it brought tears to my eyes as he referenced in the book how I impacted his life. But my tenure at the College of Charleston has always been positions of service where I service people. I made a statement a while back. Little babies, if the world can see through the eyes of babes, America would be a better place than what it is now. Babies don't see color. Babies just see individuals. Until we reach that point of just seeing people for who they are and not base anything on the color of their skin, we'd have a better world to live in. The chaos that we're seeing now, what's going on in the Ukraine, it's just awful. But I am honored and humbled, and I just want, I'm a longtime citizen. I've been here 71 years, and I'm not going anywhere until God calls me home. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Number five is recognition of employee years of service.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'd say invite up Steve Gergic, but maybe just stand next to me, Steve.
All right. Oh.
It's Steve. Yeah. It's my pleasure to recognize Steve for 10 years of loyal and terrific service to the town of Mount Pleasant. Steve's done a wonderful job for us. You know, I remember the first day he arrived at Town Hall. He's been in recreation services for many, many years. In fact, has taken them all over the world. We're grateful. I'm grateful that it also brought him back here to the town of Mount Pleasant. Steve's a valued member of our leadership team, trusted. He has a tough job. A job that often is 24/7, but he has performed very, very well over that time. So just want to take a moment today to recognize him and congratulate him and thank him for 10 years. So thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Check your
report.
Thank you. All right. Item six is budget review for our fiscal year of 2023.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll go ahead and take the lead on it.
Okay.
Let's see here. Okay, if you would go ahead and open the recreation tab in your budget. I'll go through this rather quickly. Can answer any questions that you have either today or after. Today, what we hope to come out of this is a recommendation to the Budget Committee of Council approving the budget or approved with any adjustments that you may have at this point. You'll notice, though, first on page 76, overall, the budget is up just slightly, 3.6%. Much of that has to do with what's found in the salary line item, which incorporates the wage and classification plan into the budget, as well as recommended raises for staff or employees next year. What you'll also find throughout the budget, especially in the middle of that page you're looking at, page 76, is the impact of camps on the budget. Important to know that there's a revenue component to this section that I know you're aware of. So while you may see increases under camps in those line items, there's a corresponding revenue on the other side of the ledger. I mentioned salaries. There's no new positions in that line item. Another line item of note to mention is perhaps about 75% of the way down. It's underwater utilities. We have the new town hall track up and running. But what comes with that is an expected $20,000 expenditure to keep it irrigated.
Oh, wow.
That's a newer expense. Throughout most of the line items, materials and supply costs are up, association with impacts going on in the broader economy that you know about. Perhaps the bigger story is in the capital asset fund. If I could ask you to flip to that tab. And page 121, there's some significant expenditures there I wanted to highlight. And they're the two at the top. So athletic field drainage, we have $500,000 programmed for next year to improve the drainage on our athletic fields with the intent of making them more playable. Many of our fields already have the drainage that has been installed. We've done a little bit every year, but now we have $500,000 for that. And Steve, the fields that we're expecting to do next year?
That would be the multi-purpose field at Park West, which is very large, you know, approximately the size of two soccer fields. And then the Garch fields, we'll be moving into the baseball fields over at Joe Garch Field.
Mm-hmm. That second line item is the resurfacing of the Park West track, something I know we've discussed for a few years. That rubberized surface is in need of repair, and next year we have programmed in the budget to be able to perform that work. Other than that, I wanted to point out on page 109, so you'll have to flip back a few pages from where you just were. here towards the bottom, you'll notice several projects that are associated with the referendum if that goes through. If you still choose to do that, then the money's programmed from that in the budget, presuming it's successful. If by some reason this committee or council does not choose to go forward with that, then we can amend this portion of the budget. In there, you'll see the Rifle Range Road project construction at $37 million. Also, renovations to the Jones Center and the Park West Pool. These are all items on the list that you are currently considering for the referendum, but are certainly subject to change, and any adjustments that are made, we will go ahead and amend the budget before its final passage. So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I know it's a sort of a 30,000-foot view of the departmental budget, but that's where we are right now, and happy to answer any questions.
Y'all, any questions? Do you have any?
No, I don't have any questions. It's just a comment. Thanks a lot for looking out for those pools. I know the pools are in dire need of some work, and I was really happy to see about the track. I remember when we first built the track, I want to say it was, 87 or 97? They told us it would last 10 years and we'd have to resurface it in 10 years, and it's been a lot longer than 10 years. So it really, and it's produced national champions. So I was really happy to see that it lasted longer than what they anticipated, and see the benefit of it. Because I know when we first came out about the track, people thought I was crazy, but it's really, really done Mount Pleasant well. And like I said, produced national champions, and also have gone on to help a lot of the high schools and even colleges. So I was really glad to see that, but really glad to see that it passed its 10 years, and hopefully we'll be able to get more time out of this next refurbishment.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the budget as described by staff.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Looks good. Item 7 is discussion and possible action on a recreational capital project referendum.
Good morning. I guess I can kick this off a little bit.
Okay,
some of the discussion. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for bringing this up for discussion. This is a follow-up on previous discussion that we've had on this topic, and I just wanted to go over a list of some of the projects. Just kind of refresh you on a list of the projects that we've talked about, and then we will also go over the survey results. We had survey results that were brought up. If we are to do a referendum, you had requested a needs assessment survey that we had conducted by Clemson University, and I have Dr. Bob Brookover prepared to give a quick presentation on that, and then a review of the revised master plan for Rifle Range Road, so that we can take a look. All right, here is the potential referendum uses. I'm not going to read through the list, but the ones that we had talked about previously were the Rifle Range Road, Carolina Park, and the Park West Pool renovations, and the Jones Center renovations. There were other ones that were also mentioned that have been brought up in the discussions. And as Eric has pointed out, I believe at the retreat initially, there would be also annual operations of about $500,000 that would go along with the establishment of these new facilities, particularly the Rifle Range Road project. I have follow-up slides after this showing each one of those with further detail. I'll just leave it right here. If you have information or if you have questions about any of these projects as we have this discussion, I can be able to pull up some information on them.
Mr. Ramos.
Just a quick question. The senior center, that's not the new senior center. That's to rehabilitate the one we have, right?
No, that would be a estimated cost for construction of a new senior center if that was prioritized.
Okay. Have we had any opportunities to check with some of the hospitals and areas to see if they would like to go in with us and work with us on that?
Sir, I think that would be a first step if such a project list was approved. If this project received the green light, that would be one of the first phone calls to some who have expressed interest in the past.
Good.
To see what type of arrangement there could be, and then present those results to you.
Good. Thank you.
I think the survey results, I guess, are important for us to know what the people in the town are interested in having us focus on.
We're ready to do a presentation on that. Bob, Eric, can you pull up? There's Eric LaFontaine. He's over here. We'll pull Bob up to join our conversation. You Dr. Bob Brooker, if it comes on, you've been given a copy of the survey results here that he'll be reviewing with you. Okay, Bob, are you with us?
Yes. I can hear you. Are y'all hearing me there still?
Yes, the floor is yours.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all for. I was getting some feedback there. Was that someone trying to say something?
I don't believe so. You may be hearing yourself a little bit, so I'll go ahead and mute this.
That'd be great. Okay. So thank you all for having me. It's good to be back in Mount Pleasant. We have done work with you all since 2014. We did a cost recovery study in 2014 for you all, followed by a strategic plan in 2017, and now back to follow up with this needs assessment as you all begin to think about your next iteration of capital projects. So wanted to run through these results real quick, tell you a little bit about the process, and see if y'all have questions. So we've done these projects throughout the state and throughout the country for a long time now. The group of questions that we use are things that we've developed over the years, and I've tested these and used these again in a variety of studies again throughout the state and country. You all yielded just over 1,200 survey responses, which is absolutely great. Again, from an analysis standpoint, the idea with the surveys is that it's gotten really, really difficult to do random sample surveys. Response rates are extremely low. Pretty much probably 10 to 12 years ago, we started to test out the idea of going with population level surveys, and we did some statistical tests between random samples, population surveys on these recreation needs assessment, and found that the results were very similar, and we were not finding statistically significant differences between the results. Also, again, when you get that volume of responses, it's also extremely helpful. A 7% response rate on a random sample survey oftentimes doesn't give you usable information. So that's a little bit about our process. The things that we look at, again, we had this online survey out for about 5 weeks, and now in this project we're simply providing a data analysis and report of those findings for you all. The way that we do our survey is that when we think about programs and service categories, we do an important satisfaction gap analysis. So I'm sure most of you all probably saw the survey, but what we ask is, how important is a type of facility or a type of program to you and your family in the area? And then we follow that up with how satisfied folks are, and then we calculate the gap between how important and how satisfied people are. Bigger the gap shows a larger need. And the reason we do that is a lot of needs assessment surveys stop with importance or stop with satisfaction, and that doesn't necessarily give you kind of a fine level of detail about how to kind of rank your priorities and identify what your top priorities are. Also, when we do ask those questions, we ask if how important and how satisfied are you with the availability of those in the area where you live, regardless of who is providing those services, whether it be the town of Mount Pleasant, Charleston County Parks and Rec Commission, a nonprofit agency like a YMCA or a church, or a private provider like, you know, let's say Gold's Gym or some of your private sports leagues. So, and we do that because, you know, so we can find where you're not competing with other people, or you're not going into an area where you're trying to fulfill a need that's already being fulfilled as you make decisions with your limited resources on where you're going to invest. So just demographic overview, obviously, and right away, I see a mistake there. It's 8%, not 38% on the outside of Mount Pleasant, but the vast majority of your respondents live within the city of Mount Pleasant. Obviously, though, you all are an attraction, and there are people that participate in your programs and take advantage of your services that live outside of town. Age breakdown, again, that's pretty typical in what we see with, you know, we normally get the highest percentage in that 35 to 45 age group. And oftentimes that's because, you know, that's kind of prime family age group that have kids that are participating in the programs. Also, that's right in line. I think I looked up your all's median age is about 41 in town. So you are, again, kind of right in that realm. Typical that we see a higher percentage of females completing the surveys than males as completing that for a family unit. Your demographics are relatively close to the demographic breakdown in Mount Pleasant as well. And then just to give an idea of who that, you know, families that are responding to the survey, showing that, you know, the percentage of people who have children that responded in those age categories is also included there. And we started asking this you know, not that long ago, get an idea of, you know, dependent adults that are living in the homes, whether that be a parent or an older child as well. So we also looked at, you know, the user frequency rates and where people are participating. So you can go through, and this is across the board, you know, people that are taking advantage of Mount Pleasant recreation programs and services, and how many times per week on average they're doing so. Again, how often people are using private providers, other public and nonprofit providers as well, to give you an idea there. The bottom line is 0 times per week. The kind of copper tan line is 0 times per week, up to the darkest green is 7 plus times per week as a family unit. Overall importance and satisfaction. So, you know, we have the blanket statement overall, how important are recreation programs and facilities to you and your family and the availability of those. High level of importance. Overall satisfaction, again, 53%, you know, so you've got a 40% gap there. That, again, that is not uncommon. Typically ranges somewhere between, you know, 40 and 60% in that gap. That's not anything to get worried over, but it does show that there are needs that people in town, you know, have and would like to see addressed. And then we get into specifics. And again, I'm going to follow this up. This is, again, the water tower view of what we found in the survey and with kind of those top level priorities. And we'll follow this up and you'll see more detail later in the report as far as the entire list. We're showing this in three different ways. on the left, you have satisfaction rankings, so the things that people are most satisfied with. On the right, the things that got the highest level of importance ranking. Again, in the middle, that's where we calculated the gap between the importance people place on that type of program or facility and the satisfaction level. And that is your best piece of data for prioritizing, if you're going to pick these off one by one, that's your best piece of data that you have. In that circle in the bottom, we have included some additional, and basically it's the list of those five by a gap analysis, and then it includes some of the others that also people are interested in, they're satisfied with, and that are important as well. So we gave you a list, kind of top seven list there, where we added a couple that are showing up in some of those other rankings as well. You can see, again, we are finding even prior to the pandemic, that outdoor recreation and adventure programs have been ranking high, and there's some national data and trends that are that follows along with. Again, programs for teens, the hardest group in the world to program for, youth and adults with disabilities, fitness wellness programs, and aquatics programs from a programming perspective. We also included recreational youth athletics, which showed up as about 50% of people satisfied, and again, there's some national trend things that work into that decision, and camps as well. On that side of the coin as far as top priorities. Facility priorities, again, nothing really surprising here. And again, I'm going to show you some comparisons of things that we found over the years as well at the end here. But again, same distribution here of satisfaction ranking, importance ranking. That important satisfaction gap is your best piece of data. Again, trails and greenways, that is almost universally comes out number one or two in every community that we work in. Recreation centers, water access, outdoor aquatics facility, rectangle multipurpose fields. We also, talked about neighborhood parks and playgrounds. We would put that into a top priority in those large regional parks, open space, natural areas as a combined category of facilities to take a look at. Again, I included some of these national trends, and we use the Physical Activity Council State of Play report and the Aspen Institute State of Play report to look at some of these things. There has been a national trend of sport of participation rates going down, particularly for lower income families, and they're remaining flat for middle income families. You are seeing increases in upper income families of participation rates among youth. The thing, and we're seeing less and less kind of interest from folks across age spans in those traditional sports activities. However, I would expect in a place like Mount Pleasant that you all are remaining steady or growing, because a lot of what we're seeing is consolidation, where maybe smaller communities around you are beginning to close down programs or aren't offering programs anymore. So we're seeing a consolidation where some programs are kind of attracting that regional void that's being created. So I would suspect that your programs have not seen that. We have seen during the COVID pandemic, we have seen some resurgence in those numbers as well. Some of those things, and I think this is Mount Pleasant's a good study in this, is that some of the reasons that you're seeing low income, mid income families participation going down is the idea of the cost of those club sports. So, I would encourage you all as a community and as those private clubs to continue to think of ways that you can ensure that you are serving the community and that you're providing those opportunities. Because again, I think as where you're situated, you're not going to experience some of the declines that you've seen nationally in traditional youth sports. I've also included here, again, this is the full list based on performance importance or important satisfaction gap that you can see that we included all the program types that we asked in the survey. And again, the facilities ranked by important satisfaction gap, a full list here. Again, you can see where the, you know, rectangle multi-purpose athletic fields are making the list of top level needs there. We, again, we asked some policy questions, and we, you know, these differ, you know, from place to place as far as what we're finding, but one of those is intergovernmental agreements between school district and public recreation agencies to share facilities, try to create efficiencies. I think you all do that pretty well. Again, high level of agreement across the board here. It's appropriate to allocate tax resources to support the development and operation of recreation programs, facilities, and services. 94% of the respondents agreed, and that playing, you know, the city or town, I apologize, that's one of the places that I didn't catch city instead of town, play a vital role in protecting green and open spaces for public use as well. Again, funny thing, well, not funny thing, the coincidental thing is that we added the appropriate to allocate tax resources question after we worked with y'all in 2014, because there was a situation where a former council member had discussed the idea of privatizing the entire recreation department, and that's when we added that question to our surveys, and we found this across the board in most communities that we've worked with. Willingness to pay, we set up a willingness to pay scenario in the survey so we can get an idea of what the value people place on the current situation and what they would be willing to pay for improved facilities and services. So the left-hand bar on your screen, the $107.59 is the value that they place on recreation services programs and what they would be willing to pay per capita, per person in their family, to have access to those. So as it exists today, the follow-up question is, if we were to, as a community, develop additional facilities, improve what we have, new programs, what in addition to that number on the left would you be willing to pay for each member of your family? And that came out to another $96.20 per year. So people do value this, and they value and would be willing to pay for additional services according to the data that's been collected. Then finally, here's a comparison across the years. You all had some work done, and we did not do this, but 2007 and 2009, that laid out some of your top level priorities there from a facilities perspective. In 2014, as part of doing the cost recovery study and some financial feasibility work that we were doing, we asked these questions as well. These are the results that we found from a facilities perspective in 2014. Again, 2017, I don't know that we changed anything. We may have added one or two things to the facilities list from 2017 to 2022, made some minor tweaks there, but almost the exact same survey. The difference in 2017 was that you all asked us to come in, and we did some focus groups as well over the course of a week, and that we made official recommendations across the board: facilities, programs, operations, finance, marketing, a variety of other recommendations. So some of the things that you see in 2017 were a combination of the where it says renovate and update existing facilities, for example. That was the result of both the survey and talking to people in focus groups, coming in, doing an analysis of the facilities as well. So that's why something's on there is a little bit different in 2014 and 2017. And then 2022, these are just straight survey results. But as you look across the board, there's a high degree of agreement over the last 8 years or so in what we have found in those results. Trails and greenways, multi-purpose, you know, rectangle athletic fields and athletic fields, aquatics facilities of some type have shown up. Multi-use recreation centers have shown up across the board. So again, we didn't, this time around, you know, we're seeing some of those same things and, you know, would probably make many of the same recommendations that we made in the 2017 plan, which also, by the way, included, in 2017, we included the idea of having a recreation advisory committee in the town of Mount Pleasant as one of those recommendations. And I know you heard some of that in the beginning public comments as well. So with that, I'll stop talking and see if there are questions.
One question that I have with the trails and greenways. That's weird. With the trails and greenways,
I'm having a little bit. I'm not really hearing what you're saying. Whoever's speaking right now.
Okay. With the trails and greenways item, was it presented just like that? Trails, greenways. Did it break it up into, was it talking more about like interconnected trails and greenways or just, you know, single-use parks with a trail?
Yeah, but so I'd have to look at the survey real quick. But the typically what we do in each of those is that we have a parenthetical after that where we describe like a variety of things that, you know, that we interpret there.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that these are in order of importance.
Yeah. So on the yes, that's the list as they appeared, kind of as we rank them each year.
Yeah, I was just looking at the one with the overall importance and satisfaction with the programs and facilities, and I noticed on that one it was 53% was very satisfied, and the unsatisfied were 32%. That seems to be gaining on the unsatisfied side. I think that's what we've been hearing from our citizens, is that we need additional facilities, whether they're rectangle fields or whatever, to be for our programs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. I didn't hear exactly where you were talking about in the results.
There's no page number. There's no page number. It's overall important satisfaction.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that the slide that I just pulled back up, is that the one you're referring to?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, again, that's not like something that we see kind of that level in many places. So, you know, but, and I need to go back to the 2017 to see if there is a, see where we were there as well, and we can make that comparison.
Okay, we've just been hearing a lot about having to add more rectangle fields, in fields period, but rectangle fields mostly, and I thought that number was telling there. It kind of seems like that's what we've been hearing about.
Yeah, and as I talked about those trends, we are seeing that more and more, that rectangle fields are what is coming up, and that's on the list, whereas diamonds fallen off the list almost everywhere that we are working now, and from a national trends, diamond sports are the ones that have seen bigger decreases. Think about it, it makes sense too, because there's a lot you can do on a rectangle, there's way less you can do on a diamond,
right?
That has.
Thank you.
One more question.
Yes, Mr. Rambo.
This is really Miss for you two, Steve and Eric. These full survey results, will we publish these on the Recreation Department website or somewhere where the public could access them?
Yes.
Okay.
Public. Yes.
All right, perfect.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. It sounds good. It seems, to me, it looks like a lot of that is predictable. I agree with it. So, okay. Are we going to go on to our next review of the master plan for Rifle Range Road Park? That kind of
Bob, thank you for joining us.
Goes along with this, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So were you just taking this as information only?
Well, yes, sir. As committee has had continued discussion on the referendum and how perhaps it should be populated, we mentioned we'd bring this survey information back in April so that it, for whatever parts of it you find useful, it can help clarify the list of projects.
Good. Mm-hmm. So will this be published out for the citizens to be able to see some way or another, whether it's through our recreation book that we put out or whatever? I think it'd be important for them to see the results.
Yeah.
Okay.
They paid for it.
They did. Okay, and I can move on. That was the survey results. And so all of this is coming under the title of the discussion. So this is information to provide for you for the discussion, possible action regarding the capital project, recreation capital project referendum. The third part of that was you had asked to see a revised master plan for Rifle Range Road. And so let me see if I can go. I'm gonna go back a couple slides here. This was the original master plan for Rifle Range Road that I think you're pretty familiar with. You've seen this, as we've had this for several years. And we made a few changes to it that were related to requirements for the Greenbelt funding that was used to purchase some of this property. And then also some recommendations from committee to revise, reducing the diamonds and adding two more rectangular fields into the project. So we had to move the gym from its current location over further to the left side of the property, and I'll show you that, the new revised plan. It looks like this. So the previous picture that you saw was the entire property. This is a blow up of just our side. Let me see if I don't have control, but it's okay. I'll be able to show you the I'll just speak to it. Up in the top left-hand corner over there, those are the four rectangular fields that we would have together. And just to the right of that is the gymnasium. That is the gymnasium that we were asked to add to move over to that side of the property. Had to kind of stay even with the edge of that lake, the edge of the pond over there, that we had to keep it over there. It still incorporates all of the different aspects of the other plan. You have the legend over there on the right-hand side. We still have disc golf in there. We have tennis courts. We have pickleball courts. We have we've actually expanded some of the tennis courts and pickleball courts down on the far right-hand corner in the well, it's not in the bottom, the right hand side, the top right, to provide some more space there. There's trails throughout the area to go through the area, and they will also cross the road right around the middle on the top. It'll cross the road to go into the Charleston County Parks and Recreation side to go expand into their trail system as well. I think it's a very good plan. Wooden Partners was brought back to kind of revise this plan, and we went through some different concerns and all the drainage and all the parking and wetlands and everything that comes into play in the design of this, and they provided a very nice new design for us. Still up there on the pond is there's still some fishing piers. Just really providing a nice, really nice, beautiful park in central Mount Pleasant. So.
With this revised plan, did they give us any updated conceptual pricing?
We did not get conceptual pricing with this. Expectation is it would be similar in pricing. However, there was an expansion in square footage of the gymnasium to add additional classroom for art and dance classes and cultural arts type of programming. The additional square footage of the gymnasium, close to 10,000 square feet more at the current building rate, we could take an estimate on that.
Mr. Santos. I think it looks good. I think we're serving a couple of needs, the pickleball as well as the rectangle field. So that looks pretty good. I had mentioned before about the bird sanctuary. Have we gone any further with that, making those sanctuaries?
We are getting signage produced to be able to put out there in that area. It is not an official bird sanctuary that's done by the state, but there will be signage put out there to recognize the plant life, the birds, the animal life that is out there in the nature trails.
Okay. I'm good.
I'm wondering, are we ready to send this to full council for them to take a look at where we are?
I think so. For the referendum itself or for this master plan?
I don't know if we're ready for council to see this, just, you know, so they can start having their own ideas about the referendum, or should we just be making our own motion later? And
I'm okay with
based
that.
On this survey
okay
and everything.
Yeah.
Mr. Rambo, you think we should?
I don't think we're there yet.
Okay.
But this is, obviously, this would be a large, if we included this in the referendum, it's most of the cost. I don't know. I don't think we're ready to send to council yet to say
okay.
exactly which projects we're going to include or not include. And I know we have item number 8 and on this agenda as well that might affect that puzzle as well.
Okay.
You know, my thought was we could always do first reading and then take it to them and then wait till we get everything ironed out to do second reading. I think first reading is at least letting our citizens know that we're serious about it and we're taking a step forward. We're not there yet, but we're taking that step forward, and then we can always, you know, work on it and then get second reading.
Well, you want to discuss the next item and then?
Yeah, we could. I would just ask that if we did send it to council, that it wouldn't be a formal like reading. It would be more like a temperature check of council, so to speak, just to get everybody's opinion instead of just the three of us, so we can then work on revising it. Because if we were going to do a referendum for fall 2022, we would have to have second reading by July, Mr. Pagliarini.
Yes.
I believe that's correct. Okay, so we've still got a good bit of time.
Yeah. I just meant temperature check too,
yeah.
as well.
Okay,
not,
gotcha.
You know, I think we're ready for.
I think by doing
the
first reading, it is taking a temperature check and it's showing them they're wanting to move. It may get people more involved because they see that we're starting to move on it instead of just talk about it. It might spur them to get more involved quicker since they see that we are trying to move forward. That's my opinion. I mean, it's just the first. We make, you know, this first vote on it. We still got plenty of time to do second, but it does show them that we are moving forward on it, and it may get the ones that are kind of on the fence to be able to come forward.
Mr. Pagliarini.
Yes, good morning.
Mr. Pagliarini, always
yes,
nice
sir.
To see you.
One thing we want to be careful of before first reading is that even in first reading, we need the specificity part
yeah.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
As you all recall, that is the most important issue, so I would just caution against going to first reading unless we have the details laid out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. But I would be, yeah, sending it to council as far as just, you know, I know full council, we discussed it at the retreat back in January, but it might be a good idea to have everybody weigh in again.
If you're ready. I mean, I was just throwing that out there. We can wait another month as well,
yeah,
though, if you'd like.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can wait until we have these further discussions on Carolina Park. So we'll know whether we want to include that
mm-hmm.
in our.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll move on then to discussion and possible action on funding Carolina Park Phase 4 along with Phase 3.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I requested this item be on the agenda. I know we've heard from a number of folks over the past few months with concerns regarding the amount of rectangular field space available, as well as obviously with the with us working with CCSD in our kind of our swap to give the baseball field across the street from Beckham to Beckham, and they're going to give us the Cario football field that we're going to turn into a baseball field. That's another loss of a rectangular field, as well as the loss of the rectangular field from Patriots Point with the battery agreement. In summary, I guess I don't feel like we can wait. We have the ability to wait to put these two new 11v11 fields at Carolina Park that would be done with Phase 4. Obviously, Phase 3 is fully funded. Phase 4, the latest cost estimates for a full Phase 4 project with contingencies, design, and everything is $4.09 million. There is also included in that is about $500,000 for an adjacent passive park, which would be a mile of 10-foot wide asphalt trail that would run through those woods between the complex and the airport. I don't know that that's necessary at this time. I know we they talked in the survey about trails and things like that, but when I talk with folks, I think most people are talking about Mount Pleasant Way and an interconnected group of trails, not necessarily you drive your car to a single location and you walk through all the soccer fields and baseball fields and then go to a park that's just kind of standalone through the woods. So if we took that out, that's about $500K off the price, as well as we had numbers run for the cost savings of doing phase three or doing phase four at the same time as phase three, and that would save an additional $259,000. So essentially we could get phase four done minus that passive park. We could get phase four done for about $3.24 million once it's all said and done. Also met with Marcy. We do have that 17 plus million in unrestricted fund balance. So my suggestion or my motion, actually, so I will make a motion to send to full council that we fund Carolina Park Phase 4 minus the passive park with funds from our unrestricted fund balance to be completed along with Phase 3, which is scheduled to break ground this summer.
I'll second that, but I'd also like to take a look at doing the walkway through to Oceanside. I spoke to Oceanside, and they're willing to go in with us on that walkway through. That will provide a lot of additional parking for us. I know the last tournament they had out there was terrible with the parking, and if we can do that, I think it was about $300,000. Eric, I think the last time we checked that walkway through,
yes,
there,
sir. We had moved away from it due to the expense. You had asked us at a prior meeting to dust it off, and if that's part of the motion, we'll find a way to pay for it.
I think it'd be great.
We'll have to use fund balance.
Yeah, because they've agreed to allow us to use their parking facility and when we have tournaments. And I know the last tournament was terrible with the parking, a lot of issues with parking. And even if we build these next phases, I don't think it's gonna give us enough parking. And if we can have that parking where we can share with them, even if they allow us to use their turf field for the championship game, which I think is fantastic to have these kids playing on a turf field, but they're willing to work with us. I think we at least talk to them and see if we can get that walkway through there so that it alleviate or eliminate a lot of the hassles with parking.
Okay.
If you'll remind, there is additional parking included with phase three and some additional parking included with phase four.
That is correct. I'm sorry, that is correct. Yes.
Okay.
The picture.
Yes,
there is.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the parking we have now was supposed to cover the other fields that we have, but it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It's very popular.
Right.
A lot of people come. So even though we may have parking designated for that, there's always an overflow. It seems like everybody drives. So this will give us an opportunity to have extra parking. And so people don't have to walk all the way down the street. They can just walk across the boardwalk and be at our facility and vice versa if we need to go over to their facility.
Okay. Mr. Santos, if it's okay with you, I'm not going to include that, or I didn't include that in the motion, but between now and council meeting, between now and the council meeting, we can look more about that, look more at that, get the official pricing, talk with Oceanside, and then if we want to amend it at council, then we can do it at that point, if that's okay.
That makes sense.
I guess so.
Okay. All right, we'll take a vote. All in favor of Mr. Rambo's motion?
Aye.
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 Okay, we'll send it over. Okay. Now, number nine is discussion possible action regarding allowing Charleston County School District students residing in unincorporated areas within the town limits to join our rec programs.
This was requested by a council member. And I believe Mr. Icofano is here, Madam Chair, if you'd like him to address the matter.
Okay. Mr. Icofano, would you like to? Good morning.
Thank you for hearing my request. As the chair of the Education Committee, I've been going around all the different principals, and there seems to be a little bit of a divide in the fact that, especially maybe in the elementary schools, Bell Hall and things of that sort, where when I ask the principals how we could be better as a community with CCSD, and they are our citizens at Charleston County School District within our town limits, one big divide that they're seeing is with the school children that are the Mount Pleasant residents, that they can join the rec department at less cost, that they can do the different programs. And in these donut holes, which the town is working on, it's very difficult for some of these families that have to work multiple jobs to be able to afford the higher price. And really, it's as simple as you have school children talking about a basketball game last night that they were able to be part of, and some of the children that are in these unincorporated areas can't afford to join these teams. I spoke with the rec department on this. I've spoke with Steve, if I can speak for you, or you can speak. I don't know that he found a problem with these children joining. I think it would be an olive branch to these communities. And would provide opportunity for the school children to all be able to play together, because CCSD doesn't offer anything from the eighth grade down. There are no sports within the CCSD sport, within the education. They have no sports. We are their sports, along with other club sports. So to me, it's an olive branch, and it's a way to include all the schools and all the children together. Any questions? Steve, do you have anything on that?
I got one question about, I see that we do a lot for them already. We have swimming lessons. We're teaching the kids how to swim so that they don't drown when they go into the water. And we do a lot for them. Unfortunately, they don't allow us to use their recreation facilities at their on their facilities. They lock their gates, correct, Steve, over at Bell Hall?
I think you mean for the playground. Yeah,
for playgrounds. So
CCSD. Yeah, we are in heavy discussion right now. Actually, Mr. Kennedy will be here very shortly with CCSD to give us an update. And we are currently redoing the agreement between CCSD and the town of Mount Pleasant. We have some very large asks of them. We're looking at getting the gyms back open and available to us. We have a very long list of items that we're going to be asking for, to also include getting us back into their theaters. We've only used, I believe, Wando one time, and we gave $600,000 for the use of that. So we will be asking a lot of their facilities, and really looking for some serious collaboration and building that bridge between them. And I hear you on that. Right. The fields, especially even right at Bell Hall Elementary, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we've used their facility before on council back when Mayor Mayor Hallman was mayor. We used it, I think, once or twice back in those back, but it just cost the town so much to move all the equipment out there, set everything up. So when it was kind of tough on us, I guess, financially, to be able to go out there and do that. We have put on concerts. They put on concerts for us as well a little bit. But that was a while back. It hadn't been lately. One of the things we were just concerned about is the fact that they have playground facilities that they lock up, and our kids at our recreation facility can't utilize that playground equipment. And whereas we're doing a lot for them, like I said, swimming programs. So I just want some quid pro quo. I'd like to see us share together the programs and allow us to work together. I think that would work out a lot better.
I agree 100%. And somebody has to take the first step. I was hoping that we would be the one to take the first step to say, we are willing to work together. Now, what can you do?
Yeah.
Mr. Rambo.
And we have done that because of our, like, the swimming program and all that. Just so you know, we have reached out to them.
Okay. Mr. Rambo?
Okay. I was going to ask, what is the program in place for folks who can apply if they're a low-income family, and can they apply for youth sports, and
we have a scholarship
can the fee
program.
Be waived?
We have a scholarship program that they
is
can
that
apply
scholarship
for.
Program open to only folks who are in Incorporated Mount Pleasant, or is that scholarship program
it's open current, to it's anyone? Currently it's currently only for those that are in Incorporated Mount Pleasant, but that I mean, okay. That's a
so
that
to can. Me a better way of doing this would be to have some sort of income component to it, and if we wanted to change that scholarship program to say we could include both Incorporated Mount Pleasant and unincorporated Mount Pleasant in that, I think there needs to be some sort of income component to it, because at the end of the day, it's our incorporated properties that are, you know, footing the bill for most of this, and I don't know that it's necessarily fair if someone just doesn't join the town because they don't want to join the town, they shouldn't get the same services that everyone else is paying for. However, I do recognize in some of our settlement communities there's certainly an income gap there, so I think maybe that's a better way of doing it, but I don't know what y'all's thoughts are.
Okay, well, I think it sounds like a great idea, but we might not be ready.
Yeah. Well, it's
promotion,
just, for
just this
yeah.
discussion, and we could work out details on.
We'll let you know more on the CCSD side as well.
The best way to handle it, but I think it is a good idea to help out.
Thanks for hearing me out.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
okay.
Steve.
And Madam Chair, for the sake of we time, can just, we can email you the program.
Okay. That's what I was going to suggest. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.